Joining us now about this time, every Friday morning, we talk to our friend on the Eastern Shore, State Senator Chris Elliott. Senator, how are you doing this morning?
I am doing well this morning. The fog finally lifted a little bit and the sun's peeking out, so life is good.
A lot to talk about. First, I get your reaction to the Department of Justice lawsuit. What I hear, a lot of people say not a big surprise, but then again, you and I, we've had these discussions that we had been letting the executive, the governor, her office, her administration kind of run lead on all of this. She was calling you, I think you put it as calling for the fair catch. But all of a sudden, I think if we knew this was coming, maybe things would be different if we really did think the DOJ was going to sue or file legal action against the state of Alabama.
Well, and I think the comments that you've heard so far from the administration and others is that we were surprised by this action. Clearly, the Department of Justice has been frustrated with Alabama Department of Corrections and the manner in which we are handling our prisoners for some time. I think the surprise is the filing of this lawsuit when, frankly, we are trying to make the changes that DOJ is saying are necessary. I mean, the Department of Corrections funding has increased dramatically year over year. We've changed pay classifications for corrections officers. The governor is proposing a massive and expensive construction process for new prisons in Alabama. All of those things are in the works and moving forward, and to sue at this point, I think, is what the surprise was.
Right. Also, the idea that the governor's construction program or proposal was going to keep the wolves at bay, that never really seemed to be a very convincing thing to me either. Just that, I don't know, you just run out of places to kick the can down the road. Is that essentially it right now?
I think that's probably what's happening. And it's a very scary place, from a budgetary standpoint to be. Alabama's in as good a shape as it probably has been in modern history from a budget standpoint. This Republican legislature since 2010 and my predecessors deserve a lot of credit for that. And we've taken some steps since I've been there to really put our budgets on sound footing, where we've weathered this pandemic very, very well, without proration or any of the things that were frankly normal, when the Democrats were in control. And now to be hit with what could be catastrophic, with the Department of Justice, takeover of our prison system. Again, when we were taking steps to remedy the problems that they had identified, it's pretty frustrating and unfortunately could be a big setback if things don't go, the ruling doesn't go in our way.
Senator, I don't know if you're aware, well, I guess you would have to be aware, this executive order the governor just put out, I guess waiving tax liability on CARES Act funding, something I know it's very important to you, but also extending some of these economic benefits, these economic programs, development programs that have been a really big deal to the business community, I know. Avoiding a special session and doing this until we get to the regular session in February. Well, what's your takeaway from what the governor's announced today?
Well, I think you correctly point out, I mean, both of these are issues that are very important to me. We filed a bill last session to deal with the taxation of COVID relief money, both on the business side with the PPP loan and with the individual stimulus loan grants, rather. Also, the economic development is near and dear to my heart, of course, with Baldwin County growing as fast as it is. That's something I've been intricately involved in, not just as a senator, but as a county commissioner before that. And these are issues that have broad support in the legislature as a whole, no question about that. And again, the governor's taken action through executive order on COVID liability for businesses before. Again, all of these things are things that the legislature is broadly in support of. The question is, the manner in which this is happening is something that we've got to kind of scratch our head about a little bit. You know, the governor kind of let us know that this is the way she was going to be proceeding yesterday in a conference call. And, of course, you've got her press release that's just come out. It's just it's a curious way to handle it, and it brings up some interesting questions about separations of powers.
Well, she says it was okay with the legislature. Do you think that's true from your standpoint?
I have talked to a number of my colleagues. I think that may be a little bit of hyperbole, frankly. But again, I think when you look at what the legislature in general is in support of, that might be where she's getting that line. And to say that the legislature is in general in support of these issues, I think is correct. I think to say that the legislature is in support of handling these issues in this manner, that may be a bit of a stretch.
It does, you know. I'm being a little facetious here when I say this, but what's the point of even having a legislature if the governor can do this? If she's going to solve prisons, if she's going to solve taxation, if she's going to solve economic development, it kind of makes you guys less relevant in the discussion because, you know, if we'll save in the future, the executive really wants something to happen. And the only way maybe you counter that is the guys would have to pass a law saying no, whereas the governor's just going to act on, you know, anything and could base it on, well, we, at least in this circumstance, an emergency order that's been going on for almost a year now.
Well, I think that's a fair point, and that's something that we're going to have to, my colleagues and I are going to have to be very careful about. The old adage of you know, how to boil a frog, right? And that is to slowly, you know, turn up the heat a little bit at a time so that it's not too uncomfortable and to the point where the frog obviously, you know, meets its demise. And the analogy here is that these are all things that are agreeable to the legislature, right? I mean, you know, take the COVID, taxing the COVID relief money. I mean, I filed that bill, and there are probably a half a dozen other bills that have been filed that are substantially similar to it. I mean, it has broad support, so there's no one really objecting to it. But you got to go back to separation of powers and wonder, you know, is this the right way to handle it? Again, broad support for what she's doing. It's just the manner in which that's got me and frankly some of my other colleagues just a little bit concerned about it. No question about it.
Well, with this executive order, is this a possibility? There's been some rumblings. I don't know. I know who the friendly mouthpieces are for Governor Ivey and her administration are throughout the state. But you hear them talking about the possibility of just coming in, gaveling in, and just doing the budgets. So with this executive order, you know, is it feasible that under the guise of COVID-19 and the emergency circumstances, the unprecedented circumstances, that you guys are just come in and do nothing but budgets in 2021?
My conversations with my colleagues and with leadership would not lend me to believe that. I think that we're going to have a busy session. I do not anticipate simply coming in and doing the budgets. I think we've, you know, at least the Senate, I was in the State House this morning, has made changes that, you know, and put protocols in place to keep members safe and keep the public safe. I think we'll be there, and we will be going to work. And I think one of the things we're going to have to do is codify these executive orders, something that we were going to do anyway, but that these issues are going to have to be taken up, again, that we were going to do anyway, so that they can actually have the force of law and be passed where they'll pass constitutional muster.
Well, and I guess that would have to be first up. Well, we just had your colleague, Senator Schofield, on, and he indicated as such. But, there's a lot of other things beyond these issues as well. I just get the sense from whenever I see these actions that there's some inside the Ivey administration that would prefer not to have to deal with any meddling from you pesky guys in the Alabama legislature.
Well, I don't pretend to think what's going, what the thought process is inside the administration. I would simply say it sometimes may be easier to say in cooperation with the legislature than to actually cooperate with the legislature. That can be tougher. I mean, listen, you know, 35 senators, 105 House members, everybody's got their district to represent. It can be hard sometimes to get agreement. But listen, that's the beauty of how our government set out and set up. Those are the checks and balances that are needed, and that's how it's supposed to work, so that there is some push and pull. And I think you'll see some of that when we get back into session, when you see a bill like Senator Watley's bill come back up that really does deal with some emergency powers of the governor and whether or not they need to be as broad as they are right now.
Do you think your colleagues in the lower chamber are open to tackling a lot of these pressing things? So that seems to be where, you know, it's not that they're reluctant to do so or whatever, but the logistics are going to be very tough to overcome, one would think.
They are, and I've had the opportunity over this week in particular to speak with a number of them, and they feel like they are taking steps through some technology and some other things to really figure out a way to get back to the people's business. And I hope that will be something that they are, you know, teed up and ready to do. And listen, I hope that, by February, we're starting to have a vaccine rollout and we're getting beyond this. But if not, you know, I think it's imperative that the legislature, that that branch, which is closest to the people, needs to get back to work and representing the folks that have sent us to Montgomery to do the work and to ensure a separation of powers between branches.
I guess that was the knock from some critics, though, that to them, the legislature, do they have a plan, or is the plan, the vaccine will be here by then? Do you feel good about that? Do you feel good that the business could, the Alabama legislature could be conducted inside of that state house?
I don't know that any plan is perfect, and certainly in 2020, I would never suggest that any plan in dealing with COVID is perfect. I feel very comfortable about the Senate's ability to operate, and I feel less so about the House's ability to operate. But from what I have seen and heard of their plans so far, I feel like they're making good strides at it, and I hope that they will come up with a solution that keeps their members safe but keeps, you know, government working, which is becoming a more and more important issue to address.
And finally, Senator, Senator Arthur Orr was on this program earlier this week. He has a proposal that would, or a bill, that would make it where the state health officer cannot force you to take the COVID-19 vaccine. There's a concern there because, I guess, theoretically, the state health officer are the local health officers of Jefferson Mobile counties could if they wanted to, but we've had compulsory mask, we've had all these other measures put into place. Well, what do you think of that? What do you think about putting something into law that says you can't mandate a coronavirus vaccine to the public?
Alabamians as a whole are fans of limited government, and one thing that I think has shocked most everybody is just how broad some powers are that allow your state government to tell you what you can and cannot do, will and will not do, whether your business will be open or not, what hours it can be open, how many people you can let in, whether or not they'll be wearing masks, if your kids can go to school, whether or not your federal stimulus money is taxable or not. I mean, the list goes on and on and on, and it is something that I, and again here with this particular bill, whether or not you could be forced to take a vaccine, these are things that the legislature is definitely going to address. No question about it. I'm a limited government guy. I don't like the idea of government telling people what to do, and I think that this and other issues are going to be tackled by the legislature to get us back in line with our limited government principle.
I mean, does it surprise you that in Ruby Red, Alabama, that we're having these discussions about government on a state level? It does seem at times with the focus usually on national politics, which it is. It's just the nature of what we do. But the states run a little differently from what we think, the way we think the federal government is at times.
It is, and while these issues of constitutionality and separation of powers may seem a little esoteric, but by the when it gets down to the nitty gritty, where it really starts impacting people where they work, live, play, worship, and get vaccinated, these are issues that are very important to Alabamians, and they matter, and that is your legislature's job, again in co-equal. Branches of government that balance each other out, those checks and balances. And again, I think it's important to get back to that. I expect that will definitely be happening in February.
Senator, we got to leave it there. We're out of time, but thank you very much for making time, and we'll do it all over again next week.
Have a wonderful weekend. Thanks for your time, Jeff.
State Senator Chris Elliott on the line here.